I'm writing to tell you how I really feel. You probably didn't notice, but for the longest time, I've always been there for you. I want you to know what I've done. And I hope, by me opening up to you like this, you will hopefully feel the same way. And we can be happy together. Forever. I remember when we were both 13. When you first transferred to my school. As soon as you walked in, I thought that you were the most beautiful girl in the world. And your tranquil blue eyes crossed mine, even though it was for a brief moment, as you scanned across the strange faces in the class, I knew I wanted to be with you. Forever. But I was heartbroken. Straight away. And you paired off by some other guy to show you around the school. You didn't really notice me much. You were always with your group of friends who were so... so different to mine. And who am I kidding? I never really had any friends. The one thing that got me through all those years of loneliness was watching you. Admiring everything you did. The way you gracefully went through your day without faults simply left me in awe, day in and day out. As the years went by, you seemed pretty popular with both the girls and the guys, and you were sought after by all the popular guys in the whole school, even the older ones. You shrugged them off. The girls loved how you looked after yourself. You always had your makeup and hair product, which made you admired, but hated. Sad. You know, it's human nature to get jealous, and we're all guilty of this crime. What they ended up doing, however, was... it was far out of line. Saw as they pushed you when the teachers weren't looking. Shove you into any nearby hard objects, which more often than not was the wall. When you stumbled and slammed into the wall, the teachers would simply turn and say, "Watch where you're going, dear," and then go about their business, blissfully unaware of what actually happened. Witnessing it happen every other day burned me up inside. Watching you have this torment for being better than them, it was a punishment to watch every time it happened. I hoped it would die down, but it got worse. I saw when the bullies would knock your drink over when you least expected it, just because the most popular guy asked you out. I was there when they set your bag on fire in the woodworks class because they thought that you were condescending when you tried to help them with their work. And I caught glimpse of them one time when they actually threw you to the ground outside of the school gates and they kicked you until you cried. Simply because you tried to tell the teachers about what they were doing. After that incident, they followed you home. Usually, they wouldn't do anything but yell abuse at you. I wanted to fix it. What I knew was there was three main bullies that were consistent. Of course, I knew of more, but they seemed to do it out of peer pressure. The main culprit was that narcissistic whore, Bethany. Beth was simply jealous of everything about you. All the things I mentioned that made you great burn her up inside. She used to be the center of attention, and my God, did she love it. All the guys wanted to be with her. All the girls wanted to be her. The only difference is that she abused that attention for personal gain. She slept with most of the guys who showered her in gifts or had their mommy and daddy to pay for everything. She only hung around with girls whom she deemed lower than her. And she did this so they won't be a threat to her god complex. But slowly over the years of you being in school, she eventually lost her reputation. And by then, all the attention was on you. The second who had a disgruntled grudge against you was that asshole Chris. He asked you to the school annual dance in front of both his friends and yours, and you simply rejected him like many others. But what made his instance different was that he ran off crying because he was publicly embarrassed. In school, that meant a lot. He denied liking you, lost all his friends and reputation, so he took his frustrations out on who he thought had caused all of it. You. And the last person was Julie. She had it bad for you ever since the guy she liked always talked about how amazing you were. Well, it's not paying her any attention. Even after she performed some, well, let's say, desperate deeds for him. During the last week of school, I knew they had something special planned for you, so I took it into my own hands to deal with it because, well, I love you, and I didn't want your last few days at school to be ruined. The first person I convinced to not mess with you anymore was Chris. He was much stronger than me, being in all those sports. Plus, the steroids meant that I wouldn't be able to take him in a simple one-on-one fight. But in the end, that would be his downfall. I knew where he kept his steroids. It wasn't hard to figure out since our school's security and reputation was low. There was no need to hide it. I got his locker combination by simply saying I forgot mine, and the teacher gave me a list of everyone's combinations. Yeah, that's right. They have no sense of security in this school. So I cracked open his locker with ease, leaving no trace of it ever being opened. Found the next shot that he was going to use and squirted a little bit out, then pulled the syringe plunge back to where it was, leaving a considerable sized air bubble. Now, I figured Chris is no doctor, nor does he have any clue how everything works altogether. He just injects himself and trains in the school gym. Bought a pass for the gym and pretended to train. He eventually came into the gym, laughing hysterically with his new friends. Enjoy it while you can. It's not going to last long. A thought that creeped up into my head. He went to his locker, and not long after that came out in his training attire, with a determined look on his face. He was ready to start. He was fine for a while, but eventually slowed down. He had a puzzled look on his face. His body slowly gave up, and eventually the cardiac arrest set in. He was on the floor. People tried CPR, but there was no defibrillator around, and since it was a school filled with teenagers, well, who would expect a heart attack in a place like this? I smiled, and I walked out before the paramedics had even arrived. It was already too late for him. Working my way up the list, Julie was next. She was always jealous of the way every guy liked you. And I silently slipped through her window without her noticing. I knew her parents were out, so if she made a noise, no one would immediately come to her aid. I pounced on her while she was asleep, pinning her down. I tied her hands to the bedposts and then her legs. I pulled out several jars from my bag, each one almost black. But upon closer inspection, you would see small movements. They were full of all the creepy crawlers that one would typically find in the bottom of anyone's garden. I took my time, filling these up with every insect I could find. I wanted her to understand all the pain that she must have felt all the times that she had shouted at you, hurting you, making you feel lower than you already are. So I propped her mouth open with one of those little plastic rings that doctors would use for a long procedure, and I slowly poured each jar down her throat. Every time her screaming was muffled a little more by the buzzing and scuttering noises and the clicking of carapaces that the bugs made as they adjusted to their new home. A few jars in and I could feel the bugs in her stomach, which was where I had been sitting the whole time. By this time she was pretty much passed out from the pain. And when this happened, I'd wait. I'd pour water on her face and slap her until she responded. And for punishment, I'd take off the ring from her mouth and pour water down her throat, making her swallow all those little insects, causing them to go into a frenzy of panic. Eventually, during the fifth jar, the pain of all the insects, those burrowing into her organ, plus all the internal bleeding, caused her to pass away. But not peacefully, mind you. And I saved the worst for last. I had something special planned for Bethany. She was the worst to you. She made your life a living hell, and this was unacceptable. No one as perfect as you should have ever had the displeasure of knowing these people, so I carefully set the pieces. And I waited. One day I got a head start. I just skipped the last class, but no one noticed, not even the teacher. This shows how much I was noticed in school. No, by this time I had memorized her route home and waited in an archway. I knew she walked past this area every time. I waited and thought about what I was going to do and how it was all for you. Although I didn't have to think so much because I already had it all planned out. When I caught sight of her, I grabbed her and I pulled her to the ground. She was kicking and screaming, but in that point in her journey, no one was ever around. The archway had led to an abandoned derelict church. I dragged her away from the path to the building so that no witness could intervene or find her body anytime soon. I did my routine of securing her arms and legs to a post, so I knew there wouldn't be that much of a struggle, and after that I gagged her. I knew she'd make a lot of noise from what I was about to do. I slowly pulled out my knife, making sure that she caught sight of its shiny glimmer. Placed the point of it onto her lower leg and smiled as she reacted to the sharp point of the blade. I pushed down, making sure the wound was clean as it slowly, oh, so slowly slipped into her flesh. It took a while, but eventually the knife handle was touching her skin. I took my time pulling it out, making sure that the wound didn't rupture that easily recognized crimson liquid. Oh, that would have meant death. That would be too easy. As soon as that type of knife exited her body, I immediately wrapped the slip with a bandage, applying enough pressure to cut the bleeding down to a minimum. Then I placed the knife a little higher up her leg, doing the same thing. I stared into her eyes. She helplessly watched me do this over over, all over her body. After each stab, I'd say a remark about how you didn't deserve what she did to you. Eventually, her whole body was nothing but red bandages. She was barely conscious as I slipped the final blow right into her heart. I can imagine you're screaming about now. In fact, I know you will be, and I'll be close enough to hear it. And by you stopping, I know you've gotten this far into my letter, so I think I'm gonna make my way in. You know, it's pretty easy to get into your house after the last few times. You probably thought it was your parents who left this note in your room in the first place. No, it was me. But please don't be afraid of the noises downstairs, okay? It's only me. You can put down your phone. I know by now that you've got it in your hand. I've already cut the phone line. I've already jammed the cell signal. Don't bother calling your parents. If you haven't done so already, I've already silenced them. Please, you can stop your screaming now. Now, I'm always right outside your door. You can unlock it. Please. And soon it'll just be... it'll just be you and me. Forever. Lots of love. Signed, your secret admirer.
Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I wanted to tell you all thank you so much for listening to tonight's story, or watching tonight's story if you're on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube, that means you're probably on the podcast that's available on iTunes, on the Google Play Store, and is now actually available on Spotify, and doesn't use as much data. So, hey, that's a thing. If you guys aren't listening on YouTube or Spotify, then I have no idea how else you could have found me. Unless you found one of those books on Amazon. You know, the Creepypasta Collection, Volume 1, Volume 2. Those are things, too. Oh, well. I don't know how you would have heard me there, seeing as this was recorded, like, 2 years after those came out. Well, Anyway, thanks for listening, folks.
And sweet dreams.